You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, please, tonight, and turn to the book of Galatians. While you turn there, I love Wednesday night. Love being with you. We have seventh grade through adults in here. Be sure to thank the workers with the kids tonight. And Sister Cherith, you are very good signing language down there. But Pastor, if you would like to sign, we welcome you to do that. And Cherith probably would like that. I think I'd be intimidated. I do know this. This is father, right? And this is mother. And the father's from the brains. And the mother is from what? You don't want to say the mouth. This is father. Is this grandfather? Yeah. And two ladies talking away. There we go. All right. Good. Good. Potter, no. Whatever you do in life, just stay with it. Stay with your marriage. Stay with life. Stay teaching the Sunday school. Stay with your church. I'm so grateful my wife allowed me to stay. Anytime she could have pulled the rug out from underneath me. I love staying at the same place. Everybody that sang tonight, almost, I think everybody, I remember their parents getting married. Or, it happens every service or when they were born. Brother Mann and his wife, it's their anniversary today. Their mother, they have 13 kids, are grown. She was a student in our school. Jennifer was the mom. And it's just a wonderful thing. But Jennifer was singing, I got thinking about your lives. And I just don't like it when you have to go through fire. And everybody does. That's one of the hard things in staying in the same church. But on the other hand, I watch people come through the fire too. And you're an inspiration to me, God's people. And up in the balcony, the lower floor, and our friends that are listening tonight, we're in a study in the book of Galatians. And sometimes we as preachers say, well, I got to hurry. I'm not hurrying. I've been here for weeks in chapter one. And as we looked at Colossae, the church at Colossae, that's in Turkey, for so many months earlier in the year on Sunday morning, that church was tied up in Gnosticism, adding false religions to Christianity. And that hasn't changed in this society. The outside religions and the outside philosophies and the internet are always trying to invade this church. New doctrine, Calvinism, that's the new way, anti-King James Bible, legalism, if you have any kind of conviction, that's not what legalism is. Legalism is something to salvation. Just because you have a personal holiness standard or purity or godliness or holiness does not mean that we're adding that to salvation. So that church had that problem. Well, Paul writes to the church at Galatia, and it wasn't Gnosticism, it was the law. They were trying to add to salvation by you have to keep the law. You have to keep the commandments, 910 of them. You have to keep them all. If you can't keep the commandments, you're not going. And they were mixing up Judaism and Christianity. It just were all confused. Well, Paul takes the entire first chapter and he tries to authenticate why he's speaking to them. They were suspect of him. In fact, Paul wondered with Christ, and he writes to him, he says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul's eyes would run. Historians say it was 4'10". And he said, you were not ashamed of me. That was a time you plucked your eyes out for me. But have I become your enemy? I'm telling you the truth. And so in chapter number one, especially verse 6, I marvel. I'm shocked. I'm amazed. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that hath called you to another gospel, which is not another. There be some that pervert the gospel. One day, if the Lord tarries, and I get to see him face to face by way of the grave. Don't change what we do around here. Don't let some guy come in here and say, you know, Wednesday night's not working. Let's not do that. It's hard on the family. Church is never hard on the family. Look at what you do. We Brother Martinez was in high school chapel today. We were singing, it was on a Monday, somebody, and you stand. Two kids stood up for Monday. Brother Fanera, where'd you go? Two, I had your, so two on Monday and seven on Wednesday. And on Thursday, nine. And on Friday, what was it, four or six? And Saturday, and Sunday was pretty good. But you know what the biggest day of the week, I tell you this all the time, was Wednesday. There was 50 plus kids stood up on Wednesday. And Wednesday, one reason is our children, almost every Wednesday night, a worker will tell you, your child in the Patch the Pirate program seems very sensitive to the gospel. And I don't ask you to go home and talk, say, are you gonna get saved tonight? But parents are aware and they know how to talk to their own kids. I like it when you get to lead your kids to Christ. I like it when we lead bus kids to Christ in church. But I love it when parents get to lead their kids to Christ. I think there's something special about that. And Wednesday was the, in addition, summer camp. Wednesday's the night, closing night, really. Thursday night's closing, but Wednesday night just seems like always something happens. Don't let anybody get rid of Wednesday night after I'm gone. Don't let anybody get rid of what began in the 1700s, Sunday school. Don't get rid of this. We need as many Sunday school teachers so they're studying the Word of God every week, all week long, and praying for their class. Please don't get rid of the Sunday school. Please don't get rid of that. Sunday there'll be 125 people up here in the choir. Don't get rid of the choir for a dance band. We'll have a full orchestra here on Sunday. Don't get rid of that. Don't get rid of, we're up to about, it says 83. I think we're up to about 85,000 Bibles this year to this area. Don't get rid of the 100,000 door campaign every year. Don't get rid of that. Don't get rid of running the buses. Don't get rid of the King James Bible and old time religion and keep the word soul winning around here. I marvel. Look what he says. Read verse 6 with me. Ready, begin. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you. So far I've asked you your homework assignment. You looked up the word gospel. Anybody remember how many times? Gospel. 12. And then the law. You'll find it in these six chapters 31 times. And I believe I've asked you to do faith. Is that right? 22 times. And then, I'm not sure, I think I asked you to do grace. Did I? I just have my notes written in my Bible, so I think I asked you grace 7 times. This week, the word is preach or preached. I want you to go through all 6 chapters, and my goal is to get you reading and reading and then marking your Bible. Well, tonight we pick it up, and we're gonna pick it up where we left off, a verse last week, 2 weeks ago, I certify, verse 11, I recognize, I'm making it known, I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel, the good news, which was preached of me, is not after man. And he's just been dealing with that. If any man has another doctrine, the Book of Mormon in my office, the front cover says another gospel. Well, that ought to give you a clue. Maybe it's not a good thing. If any man preach another gospel, let him be accursed. How bold to say something like that. Bold or foolish, whatever you want to call it. But he said, I want you, this is not after man. Because the problem why he would say not after man is that these Jews were saying, this is your interpretation. This is what you're saying about grace. This is your thoughts. This is not after man. And so we pick it up. And he said, for I neither received it of man, neither I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Tonight, the first thing I want you to see in verse number 13 and 14, we're going to use our Bibles, if you'll, just a few moments we're together. I want you to see Paul, what he calls my testimony. My testimony. And we all have a testimony. Raymond, we've talked so much about the book you wrote. Thanksgiving's coming. Will it be 3 years that you've been saved? And he's Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He has the impossible Apostle Paul life to get saved. But boy, that 600-page book you wrote on your salvation and your life story, what a testimony. What an amazing test. Paul's going to give his testimony. And here's his testimony. Ye have heard of my conversation, my behavior in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. Now, Paul gives his testimony three times in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, chapter 22, and chapter 26. But let's go back to Acts and keep a marker right here. And Acts chapter number, I'm going to put a marker there myself. Let's go back to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And as you turn there, and maybe if you could rustle the pages that I can make sure that are you turning the pages? Good. All right. Brother Fuller, I don't think you're turning the pages. Are you? Yeah, you got it. All right. Good. All right. Here's Paul's testimony. He's telling, and he's not yet saved. He gets saved in chapter 9. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Whose death? The deacon Stephen in chapter 7 that was stoned to death. Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Verse number 3, here's Paul. Here's what he was before salvation. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Chapter number 9 and verse number 4. Chapter 9, verse number 1. And Saul, who now he becomes Paul soon, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, went to the religious people, and he brought, look at verse 2, women, men or women. It's sad. I'm willing to hurt women, men for my religion and bring them bound to Jerusalem. And he journeyed and came near Damascus. And here is this, go to chapter 22, please. His testimony, chapter 22, verse number 4. Chapter 22, verse, here's what he was. I persecuted. In chapter 22, let's read together verse 4. Chapter 22, Acts, verse 4. Ready, begin. And I persecuted. Men and women. Can you imagine, Brother Eliud, a knock at the door? Hey, woman! And he persecuted. Are you a Christian? Do you know Christ? Are you doing this new religion thing? And he had religious authority from the high priest, and he arrested and bound women. And bound men. Chapter 26. This is what this guy, he was cruel. In chapter 26 and verse number 4. And we'll get back to Galatians. Chapter 26, verse 4. Verse 4, let's read it together. Ready? Begin. My manner of life. Verse number 9, I barely thought myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints that I shut up in prison. Having received authority from the chief priest, when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I punished them oft in every synagogue, compelling them to blaspheme, being exceeding mad against him, I persecuted them to strange cities. Go back to Galatians. Galatians 1, verse 13. Ye have heard my conversation. You've heard my testimony. You've heard my testimony. my conversation, how that in times past, I persecuted the church. I wasted the church. You know, it's an amazing thing that Paul doesn't boast of his past, but he has to remind us. He reminds us in a few other places in the Bible, Book of Timothy, who before was a blasphemer, an injurious person. 1 Timothy 1, I think, verse 13. He said, this is what I was. What were you before salvation? You know what I was? I was just a sinner, but I was saved by grace. Marvelous grace of our Lord. You know, I don't have a evil testimony of drunkenness and drugs, but I do have a wicked past, as wicked as a drug addict. Though I never did drugs and I never did drink, I was a sinner. I was an enemy to God. I was a stranger, the Bible says. I was a foreigner. I was away from God. No, Raymond Jones is no worse a sinner. It took more grace to save. Well, it took a lot of grace to save him. It took as much grace to save him as it did to save me. Who was in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Dad and mother went to choir practice. Dad was a deacon, worked at the church all day Saturday, went to church all the time Sunday. Hey, it took as much grace to save me as it did to say, Brother Martinez, saw you raise your hand. Your dad, God bless him, he's with the Lord, and he was a drunk in the Philippines. Your sweet mother may be here tonight. I would never want to hurt her, but I tell you what, when he got saved, his life was transformed. He could weep during preaching. He became your soul winning partner, and he'd go out soul winning and plead with people to get saved. I can't imagine. I see so many of you sitting here that I remember when I remember when many of you got saved. But you are no worse off as a sinner than I was. I'm no better than you. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Paul said, I want you to hear my testimony. But he said, not only do I want you to hear my testimony, I want to hear my transformation. This is what I was, but look what happened. And he tells us that in verse 15. But when it pleased my God, please God, who separated me from my mother's womb, said last time a different way, we said, but don't forget why babies are so important in the mother's womb, and don't kill them, because God has a plan for them. The 60 million babies that have been slaughtered, God had a plan for them. The Bible says, separate me from my mother's womb and call me, watch this now, by his what? Sing it with me, please. Marvelous grace of our love. Grace that exceeds, say grace that. That's it, that's it. My sin. Yonder on Calvary. Yonder on Calvary, there where the blood. Now shout it out, grace, grace, sing it together. Grace, God's grace. Jackson, we got pardon, we got cleansed with him. Oh, it's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, grace, God's grace. You know, there's this woman, I met her, but I know her story. She was wicked. Lived with man after man after man. The man she was living with was not her husband. And Jesus sat down at the well. And she tried everything religious. this is Jacob's well, our father's. And he dug the wells here and gave it to his sons. And then she said, I perceive you're a prophet. But that evil woman was transformed. Like the woman at the well I was seeking. There's a transformation that took. And she said, come, see a man that told me everything about me. There's this man. I can't imagine doing this. He was crazy. He was crazy. And he slept and stayed and made his abode in a cemetery. And he'd cut himself. And he'd wail and scream. He was demon possessed. And they came and they cared for him and chained him to the tombs, and he broke the chains. Jesus passed by in Decapolis, Mark chapter 5. And that crazy man got saved. And he said, I want to go with you. He's now clothed and in his right mind. You know what did that transformation? God did that through Jesus, his son, who is God. God did that. And when God saved that man, he said, Jesus, I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no, you go back and you go to your city there. And now they don't want him in their city. They said, no, they wanted him when he was a crazy man, and they took care of him in the cemetery. And said, we don't want you, leave. Then he went to the barber shop. He led Joe to Christ. He went to the butcher shop. The guy was scared to death. And he said, oh my goodness. And he got saved. And then he went over to the tailor shop, and he got a new suit of clothes and got himself cleaned up. And he was in his right mind. And the Bible says in chapter 5, he was crazy. Chapter 7, 1 year later, they're compelling him out of the coast, and they're telling Jesus to get gone and to get the crazy man gone. 1 year later, Jesus came back to Decapolis. And the Bible says the whole town came to hear him preach. Amen. One crazy man made the difference. You know, when a life gets transformed, Calvary covers it all. My past, it's sin and shame. I think of what God did at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride. Carry not, my Lord was crucified. Then by God's word, at last my sin I learned. And then now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as a... Here's Paul consenting to the death of a deacon. He's hailing women and men. He's binding them, putting them in prison. That's his testimony. But the transformation when Jesus came by changed his life. Since Jesus passed by, since Jesus passed by, oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Well, I can't explain it. Can't explain it all, I'll tell you that. Nor can I tell you why, but oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. You came, Brother Raymond, to Sunday school class, and I think Brother Martinez led you to Christ right before Thanksgiving 3 years ago. And I tell you what, I was standing 68 years ago next to my dad on a Sunday night church. Sunday night, got saved on Sunday night. Thank God I had a pastor that kept the lights on. We'll keep the light on. And that night, I know I didn't go the first stanza. I wish I had. I was just too nervous. When I walked out that aisle, I don't know, Brother Langston, Terry, I don't know about, you know, I know you have to pray and confess with your mouth to the Lord. I know all that. But I was so scared standing next to my dad. But when I was on this side, just when I walked out here, I tell you, Mary, it was like a load had been lifted. I don't know theologically if I got saved there. Dakota, he's in Bible college. He'll tell you because he knows everything. He's got 2 years in now. But I don't know if I got saved right there, preacher. But I know Mrs. Morningstar and I prayed and asked Christ to save me. But a load, I remember when my burden rolled away. I'd carried them for years, night and day. I'm glad I got saved. And about the same time, I was in California right here in Illinois. My same year, my wife got saved. Isn't that amazing? Bobby, Sister Bobby, you got saved. Oh, what a difference. Brother Sly, you got saved. Oh, what a difference when you got saved. Brother Manley, you were saved before you came here. You dedicated you and your wife's heart to God 46, 7 years ago. And that same couple, the same day, 46, 47 years ago, just came to the States. And they've been here. And I was talking about you yesterday, Sister Jackie, as we passed Montague. I was with Brother Luke. We were passing Luke Flood. I was passing Montague. On Montague and coming up to First Street, I said, right there. This used to be dirt in the middle here. And I said, right there is where Jackie's Lincoln Continental wound up. And there was an awful accident, not her fault. She wound up there. And I remember arriving. I wonder also how I got there. There's no cell phones. There's no pagers. I don't know how I got there. Do you? You'll have to tell me. But I remember the Thursday night at her house with my wife. That was 1978, right? 77, 78. She got saved. Hey, Brother Wayne, pretty good deal. You and Sister Debbie been saved for years. And I'd carry my guilt from years. I lived in condemnation. I knew I had a temper. Even a boy, I knew I'd get mad as a boy. I don't think we knew a lot of swear words then. Back then, but I remember my heart thinking some swear words. I was so mad. I get so mad. I was just as much a sinner as Brother Mike Kirby, a man I admire so much. It took no more grace to save him than it did to save me. His testimony, his transformation, everything's new in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, new creature. Old things are passed away. By the way, did you see it here? I see Paul's training. I see his testimony. I see his transformation. I see his training. Verse 16. To reveal his son in me that I might preach unto them the gospel to the heathen. And immediately, watch it. I confer not with flesh and blood. Here's his training. Neither when I went to Jerusalem, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. He stayed there 3 years. He went to the school of Bible training alone. He had eventually get under a young, older couple that were seasoned, and they taught him more 14 years later. But immediately he began to prepare. He got trained. That's why Sunday school, you get saved, get plugged into Sunday school and stay. And get there on time, which means early. Amen. And stay and say, well, it's boring. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, ladies, you can say marriage must be boring. Not for us men ever. We're always enamored with it. But it might be boring. But you don't walk out just because it's boring. You work through those times. Sunday school might be boring sometime. I've said this so many times. I remember your dad preaching here. And I remember him on the old building, Heather and Amy. He said, Trebe, you know what I'm going to say. I was in peanut butter tonight. He was the best preacher, pulpiteer. I had the best voice. Yeah, he's with the Lord. Died very young. But I'll tell you what. I've said that so many times. Sometimes I feel like saying to my wife, boy, that was terrible tonight. And sometimes I say, Lord, I tried. it was terrible. If it gave me another opportunity, I even pray more and study more, because I didn't even enjoy it, let alone they could not have enjoyed it. I see his training. Jennifer sang it. God's going to take us through the school of training sorrow and fires and heartache and disappointment. You don't run. I watched a family, and I won't say how recent, but it's been a while back. They went through a little fire, but they never quit Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I admire that. And guess what? The fire's gone. And we've come through that fire as gold. When I've tried Job 23 and purify, I shall come forth as gold. We're out of time, but I'll give you one. We see his testimony. Two, we find his transformation and then his training. And look at then his traveling. I went to Jerusalem. Then I went to Arabia. And again, Damascus, verse 18. And after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem. And note that verse number 21. After that, I came to the regions of Syria and Sicily. And then I went to the Judea and the churches of Christ. He said, I just kept moving and moving and giving the gospel everywhere. Then I went to Tarsus. And at Tarsus, I just kept preaching the word of God. Why is Paul telling them all this? Because he's going to begin to deal with the fallacy of their doctrine. He said, I'm not the new kid on the block. I was a bad, wicked sinner. I got saved. And then I've been studying the scriptures, and God's kept moving me here, and he put me under the authority of Aquila and Priscilla, and I learned the scriptures, and I learned more. And in fact, in where does it say that? Chapter, I know where, it just came to my mind. Verse 1. And then 14 years after, I mean, he's not just starting in this thing. He's been at it a while. I'm seasoned, he said. And I've got something to teach you, folks. He said, I want to teach you about, he's going to talk about grace. He's going to say in chapter number 2, verse 16, knowing not that a man is not justified by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no man be justified. What a powerful book. What a powerful book. Because he's going to start laying it on the line. You folks are merging the law and grace, and they don't mix. Watch what we bring in here. After my departure, Paul says, I know grievous wolves shall come in, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Brethren, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me, and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, fight for the faith, which was really deposited with the saints. For there are certain men crept in, unawares. And this is what their job is, to disrupt the church. Disunity disrupts the church. Division disrupts the church. Envy, jealousy, strife, doctrinal error. Let's stand together, please. We're out of time. Our Father, I love these people so much. It's such a joy to come on Wednesday. And I know they're busy. My goodness. Most in this room have not had dinner. The teenagers have not been home since about 6:30 this morning. Some were in the traffic, and then they went to school, and then they went out soul winning, and then they had a brief dinner, and then they came right to church. God bless those precious teenagers. Think of those sweet girls that sang tonight, that senior class, those girls and those boys. It's a large class. It's a good class. May they know you and walk with you, and may those girls always think of that song, the old Red Cross. They all sing these great hymns of the faith. It's so refreshing. I thank you for the privilege tonight. Bury my heart on the mission field. That we were able to hear the one that wrote that song. What a privilege. To me, it's so awe-inspiring. We have that joy. And then hear sweet little Jennifer sing. And hear those girls on that piano duet. born in this ministry. What a sweet family. God, the Apostle Paul is going to be betrayed. He is betrayed in this book so badly, so sorrowful, so sad, but he kept on going.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.